The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
When human beings turn away from God, they inevitably turn away from truth to falsity, from goodness to badness, from a beauty to ugliness. When a human being freely turns to God in trusting relationship, then part of the human race is coming back online. Prayer helps bring us back online. What about fasting? What about offering reparation for sin, which is what Our Lady of Fatima asked the kids to do? Well, if something's broken in humanity, if something's offline, if we tend towards bad things, when you fast or make reparation for sin, it's a symbolic offering to God, a giving back to God of something in creation. Now, do we know the exact spiritual physics of how that works or what good it does? No, but we know that the Queen of Heaven, the Blessed Mother, asked us to do this.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That was Father Muir. He's looking at what Our Lady of Fatima asked in regards to prayer and fasting, why it matters. I want to talk with you today a little bit about where we are, what's happening. It's good to be with you. You're just joining me. We've been talking about the refugee crisis now rising in the neighboring countries of Ukraine. Estimates are that well over 2 million people are fleeing the country as Vladimir Putin continues to batter and destroy, turn to rubble and dust, that beautiful country. So people are fleeing. And those who are lucky enough to get to neighboring borders are finding themselves without home, shelter, some cases without even money. Could you imagine in the frigid temperatures of winter in Ukraine what it's like to have to flee with your children or even with by yourself? Grabbing whatever you think is important. You're going to take your family photos. You're going to take, what do you take with you? What kind of clothes? A second pair of shoes? I mean, your business, your life, everything that was of a value to you, you have to probably leave behind and try to begin a new life and maybe never return. You don't know. There is an unprecedented refugee crisis unfolding right now in this moment. Numbers are over 2 million. Some experts believe by the time this is over, those could swell to 4, maybe even 7.5 million refugees. This is a time of incredible crisis. I had the opportunity to speak to Dr. Mark Miravalli, who's a good friend of the show. And we talked yesterday morning or the morning before, I forget when it was. And he said to me, he says, you know, there are other refugees. You're probably familiar with a very famous one. I'm thinking, well, who's that? He says, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, they were refugees, right? They were refugees. They know what it's like. And we should keep in mind the horrific suffering that is going on right now, the hardship, the loss of family, of life, of possession. And we really should be praying and fasting for those who have gone before us. What's our spiritual response? Maybe we should talk about that. Let's do that. Let's talk about what our spiritual response should be. We'll take a look at what it means to be a refugee, how you and I can make a difference. And then if we have some time, let's also talk about Russia and the consecration. It's this issue that continues to come up. What can we do spiritually to respond? It's good to have with me Dr. Miravalli, author of, I think, over 20 books. He holds the St. John Paul II Chair of Mariology at Franciscan University of Steubenville, and it's great to have him with us once again. Doc, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. It's always a pleasure.
This is an unbelievable crisis. You know, looking at the numbers that continue to rise, and I'll tell you what, Doc, it is staggering. I think back to Rwanda, Africa, when the Tutsis turned on the Hutus, and we saw this massive genocide. 1 million people lost their lives plus, but it created a massive exodus too. Maybe there was 1.5 million, maybe 2 million refugees. The Ukrainian crisis has not only superseded that, but it's going to dwarf it. Give me your perspective on that right now. Give us some context and perspective. The Holy Family, as you pointed out to me, they were refugees.
Right, Drew. I mean, and let's start with the why question. Why should we ponder more deeply what's happening to our Ukrainian brothers and sisters? Because we want to make ourselves feel badly or guilty? No, that's not the reason. The reason is if we can take seriously what our brothers and sisters are experiencing, that will add to a greater generosity of our prayer and fasting. So, you know, I asked the question to my students. I actually asked my daughter, I was moving her over the weekend up from Cleveland down to Akron. I said, you know, honey, I've never been a refugee. I have not had a couple hours of notice and then basically been told, look, if you want to survive, you have to get out on the road. You're going to walk for days, maybe even weeks. There's no guarantee of your next meal. I appreciate it, Drew, that you even pondered bringing family photographs. That's a very sweet domestic side of you that's revealed. I'm thinking there wouldn't even you couldn't even put a picture in your pocket, maybe one picture in your pocket. I mean, this is what it is. It you leave everything behind. You have no guarantee of a meal. And what's so important for us, Drew, is we've got to exercise that possibility for us, not that it's proximate, but that it gives us empathy. What if we, right now, our family, that includes the elderly, that includes the infirmed, that includes the kids, that we're just told to just start walking. In that general direction is another country. No, you're not guaranteed a roof. You're not guaranteed a meal. You don't know when it is. And, I just looked at reports. It's teens wind chill right now in Kyiv. Teens, 13, 14 or so. They can't even tell with certainty because the satellites are down, but it's 12 degrees in Moscow. And so that's what happened. And quite frankly, yes, three very famous people did that. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. They had only the notice of a dream, and immediately, how long did they take to get out of the house? An hour, 2 hours at most, and then they walked. What happened every time that Joseph or Our Lady heard a horse's footprint, and the sound of a horse coming up, or people, was it Herod's men? And what goes on here, Drew? I mean, do you think that these people have safe passage? First of all, they're being attacked. A maternity ward was just attacked, but the people are being cut off. Secondly, what about robbers and thieves and other people that are desperate? These are realities. This is not a Hallmark hyperbole. These are realities. And we have to think about it, Drew, because that will make us fast more. It'll make us give up more things because we know in faith that this will bring graces to these people. It will bring safety to them according to heaven's perfect plan. But that's our responsibility. There's references about, possibly being responsible for no-fly zones. Well, that's a very debatable thing in terms of death. But here's a more specific reality. That is, if we're not praying and fasting for the Ukrainian people and for the Russian people, many of whom are not in favor of this, and for the conversion of Putin, I find it actually frightening to see the parallel. It's not ideal, but it is a historic parallel of what Putin is now doing inside Russia to what Hitler did in 1937 and 1938 in terms of a fascist statewide control of media. They blocked it down. If you reported things against Germany, you would be imprisoned. I mean, this is all happening again. That's why we have to pray and fast. And I would say this, Drew, about our fasting. Personalize your fasting. And what I mean by that is not that you have to say, well, yeah, I'm looking at that picture of the Ukrainian refugee. I want my fasting to go to him or her. I don't mean that, because when we consecrate ourselves to Our Lady, and I pray that we do, she can distribute the merits and the fruits of our good works. But I mean, realize we're not just fasting to check off a spiritual box of Lent. We're fasting to help people. That's what I mean by personalizing your fasting. You're helping Ukrainian people. You may be helping a soul in purgatory. You may be helping someone who's going to die before our program is over right now. And that's why we fast. Luther once said that, you fast because it gives your body discipline. No, we don't fast for that. If you want to do it for that, do exercise. We fast for people. And that's why fasting is technically the opposite, Drew, of dieting. When you diet for you. When you fast, you're fasting for someone else. And that's why we have to personalize our fasting, realize it's helping people. And if no one else, there's one other person we should be fasting for, Drew, and that's the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Because his heart is burst asunder because of the evil that's happening to the Ukrainian people, as well as the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So that's why we want to ponder this and examine it and meditate on this so that we can pray and fast better, pray and fast from the heart for real people.
Yeah, well, it is Lent, and one of the things we're called to do is not just to pray, but to fast and do penance. And, you know, there are a lot of people new to it. It's an ancient practice, but it's fallen out of use, to be honest with you, Doctor. And a lot of people have never fasted. They might have heard about fasting for weight loss, but the spiritual impact of fasting, let's talk about that a little bit. What's the basis for it? And ultimately, why is it that denying ourselves something amplifies one's prayer? As Christ said, look, certain demons are going to be cast out through what? Through prayer and fasting. Why is it there's a power with this self-denial, this fast?
Right. Well, to your first question, which you aptly answered, remember when the disciples say that they could not exorcise certain individuals, Jesus responds only through prayer and fasting. Fasting is prayer of the body, Drew. The angels don't fast. In fact, St. Thomas Aquinas tells us if the angels envy us in any way, it's because we can fast. We can do what's Colossians 1:24, right? To make up what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. We can suffer redemptively, and the angels can't. All they can do is inspire us to do it. And so fasting supersizes it. It exponentially multiplies the power of our prayer. And why is that so? Because when we mysteriously participate in the cross of Jesus Christ, we share in the merits of that cross. Now, theologians will say that we do not share in what's called objective redemption. That's the obtaining of the graces back 2,000 years ago at Calvary. Only Jesus, the new Adam, and Mary, secondarily, the new Eve, participates in that. The graces are already infinite. We participate, Drew, you and I and our listeners, by our prayer and fasting, we participate in the release of those graces. Why? Because God loves us so much, he wants us to participate in his greatest act of human history. That is redemption. You notice with the divine mercy, Drew, you don't say, for the sake of the joyful incarnation, have mercy on us. But you say, true, for the sake of a sorrowful passion, right? Amen. Why? Because the passion is the spiritual source of all graces. So when we self-deny, when we pick up our cross, we're sharing in the mystery of Christ's cross, and it is, as St. John Paul II says, supernaturally fruitful for humanity. That's why he calls us to be co-redeemers in Christ. And that's our opportunity, especially during Lent, and now with the crisis that bespeaks us. And it's, you know, it's not just over in the Ukraine. I mean, that should enough draw our hearts for more generous fasting. There's a very strong possibility and even probability it's not going to stop there. So we might as well, you know, focus on what we can absolutely do in the spiritual order, and that's pray and fast for the ceasing of this horrific evil.
My guest today, Dr. Mark Miravalli. If you want to join us, I'd love to open the phones. We've got a lot to talk about. Fasting is an important part of it. This refugee crisis, of course, consecration and what we can do to make a difference. And I just want to amplify that again. I think it is so important to rearticulate how important fasting is in this. You might be praying for Ukraine. Maybe you're not. You really should be. This is a very critical situation. It could amplify. And we are called to be Christ-like. And if you look at those who fasted, Mary and Joseph and Jesus did. The great prophets fasted. The saints have done it. So do what the Blessed Mother has urging us to do in so many of her apparitions today, and that is fast. One of my favorite lines, Doctor, something the Virgin said in that apparition, she says, you know, little children, the one who prays is not afraid of the future. The one who fasts is not afraid of evil. So, you know, it doesn't end with just prayer. Yeah, you don't fear the future when you pray. You're in God's hands. But the one who fasts is not afraid of evil because the evil one cannot stand it. I've often thought about this correlation between giving up fasting in the West and the rise of demonic infestation. I've spoken to several exorcists about how they're overwhelmed by the presence of evil in the culture today and the demand for you know, exorcism. I think today Satan can more easily penetrate not only the various facets of society, foment war and division in between nations, but especially in the human heart and between families. But you know, the doors of the church, you know, it was the when we don't fast, you know, those doors are no longer locked, and we become more susceptible to the delusions of the evil one. So, I mean, on a personal level, on a national level, I think this is critical today, and I hope people will join us in doing that.
Yeah, yeah, you're absolutely right, Drew. And remember, you know, the fathers of the church used to say, fast to battle lust. Now, one would say, well, why would that be the case? Well, because fasting regains your self-mastery, in the words of John Paul II. It regains your ability to have control over your body. And so when you fast, you're bringing forward, through the grace of God and your efforts, a new control, which helps you use your body and respect it as the temple of the Holy Spirit, versus the use of the body for sin, for abuse of others. And I mean, so even in terms of, you know, the pornography pandemic, which is taking place today, fasting helps that. But as you say, it's generic. Fasting is, again, that prayer of the body is very important. We should be praying through our bodies. And that's what the fasting does as well, as a protection against the evil one. He loses access. And right now we need that personally. We need it family level. We need it in society. We certainly need it globally. So we should be fasting.
You know, I don't do this to get any personal credit. I know you fast probably far more than me. But yesterday I told my wife, I said, I'm going to fast today, especially for the situation in Ukraine. She goes, why? Today's not Wednesday or Friday, right? It was Tuesday, you know. I just had this interior call to do that. Last night I was woken in the middle of the night, and I prayed the chaplet. I feel this spiritual draw to do more. And to your point, just for any man right now that's struggling with pornography, or anyone that has compulsion to overeating or any other vice that you might be dealing with, to your point, I think you're so right, Doctor. The devil understands what we do with our body affects our souls, you know, and he tempts us with physical, you know, temptation so successfully. You know, he's got us. You know, if he can get us addicted, in some respects, he has your soul. The reverse is also true. If we control our appetites, then you can deprive him of gaining that control over your body, over your appetites, and you've got control over him. And that's what Jesus, I think, said when he said certain demons only come out through prayer and fasting. And it's so critical. Yeah. You know Sister Emmanuel, right, over in Medjugorje?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, I do. Yep.
I remember hearing a story, and please fill in the details on this. I remember reading one time about a couple that went to her, and they had gone to every Marian shrine they could. They had a daughter that was, you know, ill or sick or dying. I forget the exact details of their situation. And they went to Lourdes. They went to all these different places seeking this healing for their daughter. And nothing seemed to happen. And they spoke to Sister and asked her to pray. And Sister said to them, but have you tried prayer and fasting? She suggested fasting. Because she says the Blessed Mother says, you know, she can't help those who do not pray and sacrifice. We need to pray and sacrifice. It opens doors. It brings about healing. Are you familiar with that? And why is it that's so critical? I mean, so many people, they pray, they do what they think they can do, but sometimes it's fasting that kind of, I don't know, it tilts the scale, so to speak.
Right. Well, again, Drew, yes, I am familiar with that, and it's true. And it reminds me of other situations, something even more domestic. This is a case of a well-known comedian man. I won't mention his name because many people would know him, but he was having a difficulty with his daughter about how she was dressing. And they were getting in these battles over, you know, is this modest? Is this not modest? And back and forth. He finally said, all right, I'm just going to start fasting for her. And in a couple weeks, she came down from her bedroom and said, you know, Dad, I just want to say you were right. I was wrong. I was trying to look voluptuous and get attention of people. And so I'm going to stop doing that. I'm going to start having a deeper respect for my body and for the other people around me. That was through prayer and fasting, Drew. And so often we think it's dialogue, but it's a spiritual source. Fasting hurts. Fasting is difficult. Fasting is challenging. And that means it's a spiritual sacrifice. And, you know, again, let's go back to Colossians 1:24. We are all called to make up what is lacking, the sufferings of Christ, for the sake of his body, which is the church. That's Jesus saying, I love you so much, I'm going to let you share in my greatest act, which is redeeming the world. I can't bring you back to Calvary, but if you pray and fast, I can have you be a cause of the release of grace that saves people right and left. I mean, really, Drew, the mystical tradition of the church says that when mystics went through a period of prayer and fasting, that Jesus would, not daily, but in a couple months, show them the fruit of it, And it wouldn't be five people. It wouldn't be 10 people. They would typically describe it as seas of people were saved through their prayer and fasting. Wow. So that's because Jesus wants us to participate in this redemptive work. And so, yeah, I mean, Wednesday, Friday, by the way, were the old, classic, ancient days of fasting. You fasted on Wednesday in reparation for the sin of Judas. You fasted on Friday because that's the day you pick up a sliver of the cross yourself following your Redeemer. And canon law still says, Drew, not just the Fridays of Lent, but every Friday is to be a day of Christian penance. And so that's something we have to incorporate more. And congrats to you for doing it on your own and feeling the inspiration. I had a like experience yesterday. I got to tell you real quickly. One lady came up to me after a talk on Sunday about prayer and fasting. She said, you know, I was making my tuna, and I thought, I'm going to leave out the pickles and mayonnaise, and I'm going to offer it for the people. And the reality is, Drew, Our Lady will pick up the scraps from our table. That is, any little thing we do, she will take it and multiply it for souls. So, big or small, let's do this. Let's do this now for the people of Ukraine and for the world situation.
Yeah, I had a friend who, and this is something for anyone who says, like, I'm going to try to fast, but I don't want people, you know, just to comb our hair, wash our face, not let people know we're doing this, right? That's why I'm always hesitant about talking about it, but I'm doing it because I want to inspire others to do it too, doctor. But this woman said to me, you know, I remember it was a Friday, I wanted to fast, but I had to go to dinner with this person. And she says they serve this wonderful dessert, and they put it in front of everybody. And they asked me, do you want chocolate or vanilla ice cream? As they're scooping it out, and she's like, I really want a chocolate. I took vanilla. Was it a sacrifice? It was a small one, but it was still a sacrifice. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, maybe you don't put salt on your food. Maybe you don't have that second helping. You know, maybe, you know, you don't watch television for that extra hour. You put your show off. Or, you know, there's lots of ways you can do it. Maybe the temperature of your shower is just a little bit cooler. There's lots of ways that we can sacrifice and give up the pleasures of life to do that. Let me do this, doctor. I'm going to take a short pause. When we come back, let's talk more. If you want to get in, we'd love to hear from you. Feel free to join the conversation. 888-914-9149. Taking a look at what's happening in the world today. And how do we make a difference? How do you make a difference? Giving you a spiritual secret today. One that will amplify your prayers. One that will bring those prayers directly to the throne and the heart of God. And that is fasting. We'll be back right after this. Stay with us. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
We need to receive His mercy first, and then we become the agents of His mercy to others, both in forgiveness and reconciliation, but also in those corporal and spiritual works of mercy. And he called for a renewal in the sacrament of penance and reconciliation. And this is a sacrament that sadly has fallen on hard times. Not in all places. I can tell you there are parishes in my archdiocese that hear confessions regularly, and people are lined up to go to confession. And that's one of the keys. I'm hoping for a great renaissance in the sacrament of penance and reconciliation myself.
Get the facts. Get the faith. This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That was Archbishop Sample of Oregon. And you know what? These are the fundamentals, right? These are the secrets to overcoming evil, to growing in holiness, to being the soul that God created you to be. And yeah, if you've been away from the sacrament of reconciliation, Lent's a great time to get back. I encourage you to do that. It will be a wonderful experience. You'll be so glad you did. The evil one doesn't want you to get there, that's for sure. All right? He doesn't. He doesn't want you praying. He doesn't want you fasting. These are the fundamentals. These are the bullets in your spiritual gun. You do this, and I'll tell you what, you're going to see things change. And if you're just joining me, I'm speaking today with Dr. Mark Miravalli, a noted Mariologist and professor of spiritual theology and Mariology at Franciscan U. We're talking fasting. And this is something hard. I'm not very good at it. I don't like it. But, you know, it's so powerful because when you fast, you detach yourself from the world, and that allows you to overcome the evil one. He's the prince of the world, right? He once offered those kingdoms that we just heard in Scripture to Jesus, right? And what did Christ do? Christ fasted, right? He girded himself by fasting, he refused before he went forth and conquered the evil one, right, on Calvary. So when you detach yourself from your flesh, when you rise above those earthly spirits, there is a freedom, and there is a powerful, there is a spiritual protection. There's healing, there's discernment. I really think you're less deceived. Your spiritual landscape clarifies. Things change. And that's why I really want to encourage you today to fast, not just for the intractable problems in your own life, you know, situations you face, but pray for others, these refugees, for Vladimir Putin, for Joe Biden, for those who govern, those who have the ability to really cause great hardship for so many. Fast this Lent, you're going to find yourself interiorly free, and you'll move closer to God. Trust me on that. Doctor, I want to get some final thoughts from you on fasting, and I do want to talk about something else that I think is also critical in bringing about a peace, and that's consecration. But your thoughts on fasting, final thoughts maybe for those who are listening.
Yeah, Drew, I think really, remember, Jesus says, you know, when the bridegroom is gone, then they shall fast. Well, he's been gone for 2 millennia. All of us should be making some sacrifices, prudentially, according to our state in life, but we can all give up something and unite it. And that's why, you know, I have to bring Our Lady into this, Drew, because first of all, when you combine the power of the rosary with fasting, you're talking about a tremendous spiritual 1-2 punch. And, you know, here too, with our prayer level, and we're seeing, you know, maternity clinics being bombed over in Ukraine and old people trying to, senior citizens trying to walk in sub degree, you know, in teens weather. What about a little extra prayer of the rosary? You know, for example, maybe we take a drive, maybe we have a 20-minute commute, we usually, you know, listen to music. Well, what about 5 more decades? What about maybe we exercise with music? What about taking out the earphones and doing 5 more decades? Let's add the rosary to our fasting, because then you're really talking about the heart of what Our Lady's called us to do. It's so many of her apparitions. And quite frankly, it's also the great benefit of personal Marian consecration. When you're giving this to Our Lady, let her, you know, Drew, we might know 100, 200, 300, 500 people, let's say, if you're extremely popular, you know, personally. Yeah. Well, she knows 7.8 billion people personally. And she knows their spiritual needs right now. So there's no better use of your prayer and fasting than to give it to Our Lady. See, Mother, use it where you want, how you want, and help me to continue to be generous to give it to you. Because I really do believe that she takes, again, the scraps from our table, as sad, as odd as that sounds. She's so desperate for our sacrifices. Let's give her a little bit more. A little bit more rosary. If we pray the rosary once a day, think about a second 5 decades. Mm-hmm. And doing this together and giving it to her, let her apply it. Because I do not believe, Drew, we're going to have a peaceful situation in Ukraine and Russia unless it comes through the spiritual mother of all peoples. I think mothers unite children as only mothers can. The mother of all peoples unites peoples as only a mother can. And I think ultimately it's going to be up to her with our support of prayer and fasting that's going to lead to a real peace in the situation between Russia and Ukraine and further developments, I'm afraid, that well may happen until we turn to her.
Well, we know in Fatima that Our Lady promised in the end her Immaculate Heart will triumph. And let's talk about her Immaculate Heart for a moment. Let's talk about consecration. I think it was about 37 years ago that now Pope St. John Paul II, he joined with most of the other bishops around the world, including, I think, some Orthodox bishops, and consecrated the world to Russia. He didn't use the word Russia, but he consecrated the world. And, you know, there's a lot of controversy swirling over whether or not Russia was consecrated. And, of course, Sister Lucia, when asked, said, no, it wasn't done exactly as Our Lady requested, but it was accepted by heaven. Now we are seeing great confusion. This has been the big hot-button issue of the day. A lot of people are wondering, was Russian consecration truly accepted? And if it was, then why do we see Vladimir Putin commit war crimes and destroy cities and towns and countries and threaten the use of nuclear weapons? You know, that would truly fulfill the annihilation of nations. Your thoughts, Doc?
Yeah. So let's go back and do our history on this. You know, it's very important to remember that in 1942, Pope Pius XII tried to fulfill the Fatima request. and to consecrate the world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And in a radio broadcast, it was the 25th anniversary of Fatima. Sister Lucia, at that time, when asked, said, "No, what the Holy Father did not accomplish the Fatima request." And she specified, because it was not collegial, that heaven wanted bishops joined with the Holy Father in doing that. That's a very important precedent, Drew, because it tells us that Sister Lucia, just as a little humble nun, had the courage given by heaven to be able to say when a consecration was not accomplished. So now let's zoom up to March 25th of 1984. On that day, which I happened to be present by God's grace through a privilege, not because I had any honor, but because I was a starving doctoral student and I slipped in under the Swiss guard's nose and got into the fifth row of that consecration. So on that day of March 25th of 1984, John Paul II consecrated the world, inclusive of Russia, to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. On at least six occasions, Sister Lucia has said not only was it accepted, but that it was accomplished. That it was accomplished. And she explains it's like a priest who consecrates unconsecrated hosts. Which ones get consecrated, Drew? I mean, is the bread factory next door consecrated when the priest says Mass? No. Why? It's bread. Yeah, but it wasn't the priest's intention to consecrate the bread next door in the bakery. And so it's up to the intention of the priest of what is consecrated. And Sister Lucia tells us John Paul II intended Russia. So the Russia consecration was satisfied. Now, to go after the major objection, which you rightly put forward, well, if it was consecrated, why are we having this situation with Putin? Because the consecration releases a historic grace. And we saw what happened. We saw the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989. We saw the fall of communism in 1991, December 25th, to be exact. That's the fruit of what John Paul II did. But Our Lady never guaranteed that each new leader of Russia would necessarily follow that grace. Drew, why do we go to confession? Why do we fall? Because we don't respond to the grace. We respond to some of it, but then we fall. So it's the same principle. Putin has free will. Russia has free will. What Fatima promises is in the end, notice Our Lady makes that very clear, in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph and a period of peace will be granted to the world. But even at places like Hushrif, which we've talked about before, the apparitions in the Ukraine, after 1984, Our Lady says, again, she says, Russia is not responding to the grace. If Russia is not converted, there is the possibility of a third world war.
Wow.
So that means what John Paul II said, what Sister Lucia said, is true. It was done. But there's new need for grace because of a new threat, a new misuse of free will. And that's why we pray and fast and we give it to Our Lady to be applied to the situation in Russia and Ukraine.
So what happens now? I mean, the request of Our Lady of Fatima was fulfilled. That's clear. Russia has not responded to that grace. Do we need a second consecration? What's going to be critical? I know we have to do our part. We have to pray and fast. That will certainly do it. I believe the rosaries that were prayed across the decades for Russia's conversion, for the fall of for the end of atheist communism, were answered. Our Lady's Blue Army defeated the Red Army of the Soviet Union. But right now, we see it rising again. So what do we need? Another rosary campaign? Do we need prayer and fasting? Do we need to reconsecrate Russia? How do you see that? What's critical?
Right. Well, again, take our own personal examples, Drew. Reconsecration always has a new grace, right? That's why if you've done De Montfort's consecration or the 33 days consecration, there's always a new grace there. So certainly a reconsecration can provide that grace. I believe, as many contemporary messages from Our Lady has confirmed, I believe there has to be an acknowledgement of her role as the spiritual mother of all peoples. The reason I say that, Drew, is because when we acknowledge her as the universal spiritual mother, we're acknowledging her jurisdiction to be able to intercede for all peoples. And that's why, again, the prayer. And I got to thank you, Drew. Last week when we had our program and you mentioned the Prayer Lady of All Nations, we have had requests for thousands upon thousands of prayer cards. We had to print another 25,000 just for this program, which we're thrilled to do. But what does that prayer say, Drew? It says, we ask Jesus to send the Holy Spirit into the hearts of what? All nations, in order to prevent degeneration, disasters, war. So that prayer is a preparation for a proclamation of Our Lady as the spiritual mother of all peoples. I truly believe, Drew, until we acknowledge her as the universal spiritual mother, she's not going to be able to fully intercede for the peace that we desperately need. So I think, of course, we do. Remember in the Fatima request, it was consecration. And the second part of that line was the first Saturday devotion. Yeah. Many of us are not doing the first Saturday devotion. We could do a reconsecration, but ultimately, I believe, there's going to have to be a solemn papal definition of her role to fully release her so that she can intercede like no one else to bring peace to that region. That's why I think that prayer is so extremely, extremely important.
Amen. Well, let's do this. Let's pray it again. Why don't I take a short break? When we come back, let's pray it. I'm sure people can find it online. I would encourage you to do that. Of course, grab a pen or paper. I'll tell you how you can get it sent to you for free, too, if you want it. And if you want to join us, we only have a few minutes left on the other side of this break. You've got a question for Dr. Miravalli. You want to get in on the conversation. You want to share your view. You want clarity. Feel free to give us a quick ring. The number is 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. I haven't gone to the phones yet. When I come back, we'll take your calls, allow you to pull up a chair and join the conversation. It's always good to have you here. Stay with me. I'll be back with more right after this.
Did you like what Drew and the guest had to say? Get caught up on this conversation and all the others by going to the Relevant Radio Archives. Just search for The Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
I didn't know I could be free until grace found me.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Amen to that, huh? There is freedom when you walk with the Lord. Grace will set you free. Good afternoon. It's good to be with you. I love spending my afternoon with you. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you, and you make a time for me, and always love to hang out with Dr. Mark Miravalli. I love sharing the faith with him and tapping into his expertise and his genius when it comes to a lot of this stuff. He has a sense for what's happening in the culture and a view that not a whole lot of people often have, and he's a way of articulating it. And during the break, Maggie and I were just talking about a bit of news that just came across the radar. Tomorrow, I'll dive into it in greater detail. The World Health Organization issued some new guidelines today. I don't know if you heard this or not. They're urging countries to legalize abortion without limits up to birth, okay? Legalize abortions without any limit up to birth and promote, you know, these dangerous telemedicine abortions. We'll talk about tomorrow. You know why it strikes me so much? Not that it surprises me, but you know what really strikes the heart? Mother Teresa of Calcutta, she said that the fruit of abortion is nuclear war. And we are at a time where we are on the precipice of something that can really go wrong, really spiral out of control. I'm not here to scare you. I'm here to give you some hope and some direction and some inspiration and give you the keys, the solution to rise above this. And that is our prayer. That is our fasting. That is turning to the Immaculate Heart of Mary and really entrusting these situations to it. And Doctor, let's pick up, you know, really on that point. Our Lady is the mother of all peoples. On the day that you were there at that consecration, on March 25th, 1984, in Betania, Venezuela, a site which would receive formal church approval of that specific day's apparitions, the Virgin Mary appeared to 105 people. Her title, Reconciler of Peoples and Nations. So, I mean, there was something going on here in the divine, you know? I mean, God is outside of time. He sees the big picture. When I look back at these pieces and how they come together, quite amazing. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, absolutely, Drew. And, you know, we both know someone who does receive and has every indication of authenticity and has also, you know, been told that Our Lady wants to be known as the spiritual mother of all peoples. And that is really a condition for global peace. And so, you know, when we have the prayer of the Lady of All Nations, which is a prayer asking Jesus to send the Holy Spirit, that's ultimately what we need. You know, you asked the question before the break, what do we need? We need a new Pentecost. Mm-hmm. And I'm not speaking about a passivity in terms of you know, human actions and relief and aid, and, you know, God bless the Polish people for welcoming in the Ukrainians. I'm talking about the ultimate remedy has to be vertical. We have to have the humility to realize we are not going to get out of this human situation by our own means. And so it's the Holy Spirit coming through the Immaculate Heart of Mary that will bring forward a true peace to the world. And that happens to a large degree as we pray and as we fast and we offer these things. And, you know, Drew, I would ask one, you know, in our hour together here, we've talked about mm-hmm. a lot of different intentions and prayer and fasting. Yep. I'd ask for, you know, one other intention, that is, please pray and fast for the heart of the Holy Father. Pray and fast that he will respond to whatever Our Lady wants him to do to bring peace to the world. That's ultimately a discernment between Our Lady and our Holy Father, the Vicar of Christ on earth. But we should be praying and fasting and really praying the prayer of the Lady of All Nations as well, that the Holy Father will respond to whatever is the ultimately effective remedy to bring peace, not only to Russia and Ukraine, but to the whole world. Because as you say, and you know, next week we'll talk about Akita and that message, fire falling from the sky, blessed Elena Aiello. These are very strong messages that have to be taken in context, but they're true and they're calling us forward to a new generosity. So please pray and fast for the heart of the Holy Father that he will respond however Our Lady inspires him to respond, for the greater benefit of not only the church, but of the entire world.
Well, let's do this. Why don't we pray that prayer, invoking Our Lady's protection over the country? And if anybody wants the prayer, it's super simple. I pray it on a daily basis. You can download it. You can find it. Dr. Mervalo even sent it to you. Why don't you lead the prayer and then maybe tell people how they can get connected?
Certainly. So let us pray together. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the Father, send now your Spirit over the earth. Let the Holy Spirit live in the hearts of all nations, that they may be preserved from degeneration, disaster, and war. May the Lady of All Nations, the Blessed Virgin Mary, be our advocate. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And Drew, people can get that. We happily are reprinting just for the audience of Relevant Radio and anybody else who wants it. If you send us an email at mary@motherofallpeoples, that's plural, motherofallpeoples.com, just put your name and address, how many prayer cards you want. We have them in English and Spanish. We'll send them to you free of charge. You'll get them within a week, 10 days at the latest. If you're not an email person, you want to give a call, give us a call. The number is 740-937-2277. Just leave a message, your name and address, how many prayer cards you want. Same thing. We'll get them out. We ask you to pray this prayer. We ask you to be an apostle of spreading this prayer, because I believe it's been especially anointed by the Holy Spirit and Our Lady to bring the peace that we desperately need, that can only come through a new descent of the Holy Spirit, a conversion of heart. And that's ultimately what leads to peace.
Amen to that. Well, we'll take a few calls. Only a few minutes left, okay? 888-914-9149. Again, if you want the prayer, mary@motherofallpeoples.com. Please pray it, and let's pray for peace. Cheryl is listening in East Providence, Rhode Island. Hi, Cheryl. Thanks for waiting.
Hi, Drew. Oh, it's an honor to speak with you and the doctor. I had a question. Part of Our Lady's request, too, I thought, as part of the conversion for Russia and all that, is we haven't completed the five first Saturdays of the month. It seems like that devotion is kind of lost. And hasn't that really been talked about, or should really be promoted again?
That's such a great point. In fact, tomorrow the World Apostle to Fatima is going to join me around this time. We're going to talk about first Saturdays. But, Doctor, why don't you pick up on Cheryl's point, because it's a part of the conversation. It shouldn't be incorporated. What can we do to make a difference? Well, Our Lady instructed the Fatima seers with some simple solutions. The rosary certainly was one of those. then you can pray with Father Rocky at 7 p.m. tonight if you'd like to do that and pray it on your own. What about First Saturday devotion?
Yeah, you know, as we mentioned about 20 minutes ago, Drew, in bringing up that First Saturday, in the July 13th, 1917 message, arguably the single most important message of the 20th century, Our Lady says in one single line, I come for the consecration of Russia and the five First Saturday devotions. It's one line. And so when we say, well, you know, we had the conversion, the Berlin Wall fell, communism fell, and now it's coming up again. Well, part of it is because we're not doing the second half of what she asked, which are those powerful five First Saturdays. So, again, that's part of the 1-2 punch, too, because that means, you know, confession, reception of Holy Communion, praying five decades of the Rosary, and 15 minutes of meditation on five consecutive First Saturdays with the specific intention of offering it in reparation to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, because Jesus wants his mother's heart to receive reparation for the outrages and sacrilegious rejection that such a beautiful, immaculate, and co-redemptive heart has experienced. So, yeah, absolutely. That's another part of that 1-2 punch, consecration and the five First Saturday devotion.
Yeah, it's amazing. We live in very unique times. You know, you mentioned a blessed, Agnello. I'm not that familiar with that particular blessed, but, yeah, I hope you're open to it. Maybe next week we can have you back to talk more about it. Who is she? Maybe you can set it up a little bit, and maybe we can talk about her in greater detail in the coming weeks.
Absolutely. Well, she was declared a blessed with permission from Pope Benedict XVI in 2011. She, for 38 years, had experienced the passion of Jesus on every Good Friday. And the fact that she is a new blessed means that the Vatican has really done a typical job of proper research and researching everything. You know, they don't beatify people that they have, you know, doctrinal errors. Mm-hmm. Or dubious or false messages. Well, she received a series of messages on these Good Fridays that portend very strong conditional effects if we do not pray and fast. One of them specifies repeatedly the potential of Russia. Wow. Going past Eastern Europe and on into Western Europe in a conquest that even could threaten the role of the Holy Father. Now, again, it is conditional, Drew, but the fact that she's a blessed means, you know, we should pay attention to these and make sure we're fulfilling the conditions that prevent those types of things through our prayer, our fasting, and our sacramental life. So it's powerful and it's relevant to our present moment.
You and I have been talking for years about this, from Fatima to Akita to so many other places, and it seems that this is a really pivotal moment. When you see what the World Health Organization is promoting, and you see the great dysfunction and disorientation in our day, we are in a time of great diabolic disorientation. And it's prayer, it's fasting, it's this consecration. It's the only thing that's going to save us. Doctor, thanks for being here with me today. Always good to talk with you. And I look forward to catching up. We'll have to dive into that issue maybe next week if you're around.
Absolutely, Drew. I would love to. Always a pleasure being with you. God bless you, my brother.
That's Dr. Mark Miravalli. Check him out. Mary@motherofallpeoples.com. Mary@motherofallpeoples.com. His website, too, motherofallpeoples.com. Great resource for you there. I'm out of time for the day. I want to thank you for allowing me to be part of your afternoon. If you missed any part of this conversation, you say, I want to listen to it again or I want to share it with somebody, go to relevantradio.com. Go to my podcast, download it, and share it with others. Put it on your social media, okay? Spread the news. We've had great conversations from the importance of prayer, fasting, and consecration to what's happening on the ground in the Ukraine to the Don't Say Gay bill that has just passed. So I'll be back tomorrow to give you another look at life you won't find anywhere else. Until then, I'm praying for you. Please remember me in your prayers. Have a good day.